That also brings me to the wildly popular Arthurian genre, which in the Victorian period was serious mainstream literature as well as fantasy. Now, Arthurian literature has a pedigree that goes way back, and we'll talk about that a lot more in the lecture that specifically focuses on Arthurian fantasy. But in the Victorian period, you have writers like Alfred Lord Tennyson, as mainstream as you can possibly get, who's writing a series of King Arthur stories. There's the whole Gothic revival in which very serious artists like William Morris, like the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, were painters mostly, who were painting Arthurian themes, who thought of Arthur as the great mythology for England that England didn't have. Unlike Greece and Rome, which had a mythology, or even France, which had Charlemagne and Roland, England didn't have a real mythology, but they did have King Arthur, and it's a very big deal. This is important because it shows that fantastic elements can become very, very serious and very mainstream, and that it was worth it for some writers, who were good writers, to lavish care on that fantasy material. Also, Arthurian material showed that magic could be just a plot device, as it was in many of the Arthurian stories, or a very serious concept to be dealt with in more detail, which Tennyson does in some of his poems, but not others. Arthurian literature also brings aspects of ethics and morality in a different way because it deals with interrelations between adults rather than between children and adults or children and monsters or children in a fantasy realm. And probably most importantly, Arthurian literature brought fantasy to new social classes. The educated classes could read Arthurian literature with no embarrassment, whereas some of the other things would seem childish and adults couldn't read them, the same way nowadays that supposedly people on the subway would take the covers off their J.K. Rowling books so no one would know they were reading Harry Potter on their way to work. Victorian literature and Arthurian literature add to fantasy this absolutely essential element of nostalgia. And this is one of the characteristic elements of fantasy in the 20th century. Nostalgia is a Latin phrase meaning our house. And it represents the idea that there's an unrecoverable but a beautiful past that people yearn for but they can't get back to. And that shows up in Arthurian literature. It shows up in even in Alice in Wonderland when she wants to get back to her dream, certainly in Peter Pan where they want to get to Neverland. And that feeling is one of the things that motivates almost all the 20th century writers. In a very real sense, in Victorian literature, nostalgia is the main driving force of the plot. Even when there's morality, even when there's adventure, there's a nostalgia for a perfect past. Now, if you want to psychologically analyze that, that perfect past was probably the perfect past of childhood. Of course, not everyone has a perfect childhood, but people tend to remember the best parts of their childhood and idealize them. But it also gets mapped onto this idea that there was a perfect, or at least a better, political past and that there was a better social past. That's exactly what the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, William Morris and Edward Burne-Jones and all those painters and writers, that's what they were trying to do, was say that there was a Middle Ages in England that was beautiful and pastoral and noble and honorable, and all of these ideas rolled into one. And the Victorians tried to make themselves match up to these ideas. And then they also recast what would be medieval ideas in Victorian terms of the roles of the sexes, which are not the same as what was really going on in the Middle Ages. But that essential element of nostalgia, the past for which we mourn, and the connection of fantasy literature with mourning is the Victorian innovation.